Chapter 28, Pharaoh. By the time their NYPD pool car pulled up at the brownstone, the forensics technicians were packing up their equipment at the rear door of their van. Hernandez killed the engine and got out of the Crown Vic at the same time as Pharaoh. Even though his feet touched the blacktop in concert with Hernandez, it took Pharaoh a lot longer to straighten up. His lower lumbar disc problem that had been steadily getting worse was now almost unmanageable. There were good days and bad days. Of late, mostly bad days. He waited until the pain passed. His first movements were slow, but he knew he would loosen up when he started to move around. Karen Hernandez was already yammering with the forensics tech by the time Pharaoh took his first step onto the sidewalk. A black and white and another unmarked squad car were parked along the curb outside the house. Silently, the flashing berries and cherries from the top of the patrol car sent blue and red light around the street. There was no ambulance and no sign of the medical examiner yet. At any murder scene in New York, the medical examiner was the one who arrived in the most expensive car, Mercedes or BMW, sometimes an Audi. With no expensive German engineering in sight, Pharaoh thought it likely he'd beaten the ME to the punch. He took another couple of steps and felt the burning in his back just as a mild distraction, and the pain in his right leg had gone. The longer he stood, the easier it would get. He heard heavy metallic doors slam and saw the forensic techs making their way to the front of the vehicle, the rear doors now closed. Hernandez came back to give him an update.
"Who was the tech on scene?"
asked Pharaoh. "Bellucci," said Hernandez.
"Good, he's thorough. Did they get anything?"
"Not much, by the looks of things. We won't know until they get lab results back."
"I won't get my hopes up. Let's go inside."
There was a patrolman in uniform standing at the front door of the brownstone with a clipboard in his hand. Hernandez and Pharaoh ducked under the tape, made their way up the steps, and showed their ID to the officer. He entered their names in the scene log and said,
"Statler and Waldorf are out back."
Hernandez rolled her eyes, and the patrolman stifled a smile. Pharaoh and Hernandez entered the home, a neat hallway with a shoe rack and an umbrella stand. There was only a pair of boots and a pair of sneakers on the rack. Both pairs belonged to a male, they guessed, by their size and color. They passed by a lounge on the right. A TV sat silently in front of a leather couch. On the left, they found a kitchen diner. A row of copper pots and pans hung from a ceiling fixture above a kitchen island with a built-in hob. It looked like an expensive kitchen, with double ovens and lots of cupboard space, and a wall taken up with shelves of cookbooks. Yet the decor and the books had a decidedly male slant. A row of kitchen knives displayed on the wall, clinging to a magnetic strip.
"Somebody sure liked to cook," said Hernandez, as they made their way toward the open back door, stopped.
Broken glass lay on the floor from the busted kitchen window. Carefully, they stepped over it.
"Look familiar?" said Hernandez.
Pharaoh wasn't sure yet. Mr. Blue Eyes entered his victims' homes from the rear, breaking a window in the kitchen to gain access. This time, one of the windows above the wash basin was broken. Ragged shards of glass still clung to the frame. The window beside it remained closed and intact.
"Doesn't look like they climbed through the window," said Pharaoh. "The glass wasn't broken for access to the property."
Opening the back door, Pharaoh let Hernandez go first, then followed. The yard was large, maybe the largest Pharaoh had seen in Manhattan. A lawn of 50 feet or more, 30 feet wide, with rose bushes on the left-hand side, a brick wall at the rear. A small tool shed sat on the right on the lawn. That's where they found Statler and Waldorf, standing outside the shed. Not their real names, of course. Detectives Donnelly and Carter of the 86th Precinct were well known to most cops in the city. They'd started their beat when Reagan was president. Two old white-haired guys who'd been busting each other's balls and everyone else's for getting on for 40 years.
"Look what we got here, St. Jude and his apostle," said Donnelly.
Pharaoh nodded. He'd picked up that nickname some years ago, and in truth, he didn't mind it.
"Watch yourself, Carter. The real police are here."
said Donnelly.
If they're the real cops, then I should have retired 10 years ago, said Carter. You did retire 10 years ago, they just forgot to tell you, said Donnelly.
You want to fill us in? Asked Hernandez.
You asking me out on a date, young lady? Said Donnelly.
I would, but the old folks' home wants you back in bed by 11, said Hernandez. The two old men laughed heartily, and at that moment, Farrow saw that the yellow police evidence markers on the lawn highlighted a pool of blood. It was still wet and looked black in the darkness.
Don't worry, said Farrow. We're not muscling in on your case. We have a call out on any home invasion assaults or homicides. Your dispatcher gave us the heads up when you called in the scene. Does this look like our guy?
The old men nodded at one another. The pissing contest was over.
Don't think so. Looks like a bad domestic, said Donnelly. Neighbors called when they heard shouting out back. Sounded like a man and a woman having a fight, so one of them said, the Vic is male.
A male didn't fit their profile, but it wasn't unheard of for a suspect to change up their victim selection, either because they wanted a change or to throw the cops off the scent. Was the Vic stabbed? Do you have the weapon? Asked Hernandez.
Oh, we got the weapon all right,
said Carter, giving a throaty laugh filled with phlegm.
The perp left it in his chest, a fire axe, or looks like one. We'll get a better look at it when the doctors separate it from his rib cage.
Jesus, said Hernandez. That's one hell of a domestic. Farrow stepped over the pool of blood and glanced at the tool shed. It looked as though somebody had taken the axe to the outside of the door before they'd buried it in the homeowner's chest. The bolt on the shed was lying on the lawn. It had been ripped away. Farrow stepped inside the shed, looked around at the neatly arranged tools. It was a lot tidier than Farrow's garage, except they both shared a problem with cobwebs. Every tool had its place, neatly and intelligently arranged. A diligent craftsman had put this shed together. There was a spot on the wall, two thick nails, 2 feet apart, a perfect place to hang an axe. A crime scene marker sat beside a cell phone on the worktop. He stepped out of the shed.
So, how did this go down?
Asked Farrow.
Lover's tiff. She comes at him with the axe because he cheated, stole her money, whatever. There's a baseball bat on the lawn. Maybe he threatened her first? Doesn't matter. She kills him, then she breaks for the border, goes out the back gate into the alley, said Statler.
Farrow and Hernandez made their way to the back gate. It was open. The bolt, secured with a padlock, had been broken from the wood. It lay on the path beside a hammer, all delineated with crime scene markers.
What do you think?
Asked Farrow. It's not Mr. Blue Eyes, but I don't buy a domestic. Not yet, said Hernandez.
Me either. But those two won't look past their own noses on a case. And they work slow. Look at them, said Farrow.
Leaning to one side, Hernandez watched the two men. They were holding folded notebooks, using them to lean on as they each filled out a document. They're filling out their overtime forms. That's their priority, she said.
This feels a million miles from a domestic. Maybe we can give them a steer.
They walked back to Statler and Waldorf, who were now finishing their forms, ready to leave.
Any sign of a disturbance in the house?
Asked Farrow.
Zip, said Donnelly. Fair enough. Let me know if forensics come back with anything. It doesn't look like our guy, but I can't rule it out yet. There are a few things making me think this isn't a domestic, though, said Farrow.
What things?
Asked Carter.
The broken door on the tool shed, the broken lock on the back gate, the broken window. If the female, let's assume for now it was a female, had a fight with her partner, why break the locks? Why not just use the key or go out the front door? And why break the window? Who knows? People don't think clearly when they've just planted an axe in their lover's chest. Fingers crossed we'll know exactly what happened by morning, said Donnelly.
By morning? That's Thanksgiving Eve. You figuring on an early holiday miracle? Asked Hernandez.
No, little lady,
said Donnelly.
When the paramedics took away the Vic, he still had a pulse. This guy ain't dead. If he makes it, he can just tell us what happened.